This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demarest, CPA with Parmelis and Associates. So I've been doing some work with an attorney to work on my own estate planning. Hint, hint, if I am working on this at age 37, how should you feel at age? Enter your name here. And the topic of spouses owning assets have came up. I, like a lot of you, am self-employed, and I've thought a lot about spouses being on business or spouses being on payroll, but wanted to share some do's and don'ts about spouses and being self-employed, estate planning, payroll, and everything else in between. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you have a question for me or want to hear a question answered on here, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your auto repair shop? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And last, but surely not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to hire the next rock star for your team, give Promotive a call. If you're looking for a full-service staffing solution that does everything from sourcing, qualifying, creating job descriptions, scheduling interviews, to negotiating job offers, Promotive is your answer. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. So this week's episode, we are going to talk about everything related to having your spouse on a business. Should you file together? Should you pay the spouse on there? And a lot of different things. But I want to go back to what I talked about originally on this. Why did this topic come up? And what did I learn from the exercise that I did with my attorney or still doing it? First and foremost, what we're talking about here is estate planning. To give the cliff notes on what we're doing here without giving away, you know, personal information, if you die and you have not done any work with an attorney to figure out who owns your business, who owns your real estate and everything else on it, you could be paying a lot of taxes. In today's day and age with the estate tax rules on it, most of you guys probably don't have taxing considerations, but could, but it becomes a much, much, much bigger nightmare for your next of kin to figure out. If estate planning is done correctly, there's no questions. There's always going to be sadness. There's always going to be, you know, some level of confusion and fear. But if people put in the work to set up the trust, to set up the estates, set up their advanced directives on this, then a really, really bad situation doesn't become good, but it becomes less crappy. I know this stuff sucks, but again, like I kind of joked about before, I'm 37 and doing this, probably older than I am. If you haven't done this stuff, you need to be doing it. Another thing that I learned, taxes and estate planning can be at odds sometimes. And if we kind of broaden this a little bit beyond just taxes, but, you know, financial structure, business structure, and estate planning, sometimes these two can be at odds, but they shouldn't be. Now, in my situation, it's a little bit easier for me to go and talk to the lawyer because I am my own accountant. So anytime I'm talking to a lawyer, the lawyer's talking to their client and the accountant as well. Maybe my lawyer doesn't see that as a, you know, good spot on here. But the reason I mention that is your estate planning should be no different. Just like we talked about a lot with setting up your business, if you let an accountant set up your business, we are going to set up a certain way because we have a lot of consideration and concerns, probably two biggest consideration concerns of accountant. What is going to make the most amount of money? What is going to pay the least amount of taxes? Now, if you want to go to a lawyer and a lawyer sets up your business, they're going to set up very differently as well, because they generally have one thing and it's asset protection. What is going to protect this person the best case possible? Estate planning is exactly the same. If you go all the way this way, you could be spending a ton of money. It could be not even possible. But again, just looking at this and saying, hey, that's too much work. This could be too complicated. Everyone should be doing this stuff. To what level? Probably depends on your overall intentions and your overall assets as well. And lastly on this, what did I learn? A little bit of things. All the stuff that we're going to talk about here now are all quick, easy, cheap things to do. Now, obviously, the lawyer's time and all that stuff has a cost to this, but a lot of the things that you need to be doing or should be doing now for your estate planning is just work and it's not money. So there's really no excuse on that. Why did this all come up? Hunt, how did you go from figuring out your will, estate planning, to talking about spouses and spouses owning your business? The reason that this kind of came up is this is part of the estate planning. If you're married, what you own and what your spouse owns is your first planning opportunity. And this is where this stuff starts to get a little bit tricky. Because again, so I'm talking about this as my experience in Maryland. Some of these are federal rules. Some of these are state by state rules. So again, if you're listening to this and trying to take real estate tax advice, you're missing the point. This is what I've learned. This is to hopefully get you to go and talk to the professionals to do it for you and your business and your objectives. But where I kind of didn't really think about this is I always thought of spousal assets as kind of one big bucket. Me and my wife are married. Whatever I have, she's going to get half of it, alive, dead. I never really cared. Hey, this car is in my name. That car is in her name. This real estate's in my name. This business is her name, whatever it is. And even a lot of this stuff, we have a lot of this where it's just on jointly. But what I found out is a lot of that makes a very big difference. The overall idea here is it's different to have a house that is owned 100% in my name, right? Let's say we have a house and it's worth $1 million. If that is all in my name and it has to transfer to my wife, even though there might not be any tax consequences, that's still $1 million transferred to my wife. Now, if my wife owned all of that and I died, there is nothing transferring because she owns all of that. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, I don't probably want to transfer any of it to my spouse. My spouse might not want to transfer any of this to me as well. But what I also found out is there's ways to do this, but still have it in both people's names. This is more common in real estate. I've seen this in real estate, but maybe never really understood it. But let's say me and my wife owned our house jointly. So all these states are different, but essentially the way that it works on a lot of these is only one person is owning it. The person that's on the top, you see this a lot in brokerage accounts. If we have person A and person B on a joint brokerage account, the person that's on the top one is going to get it reported in their social security number. Yeah, the ownership is joint on it, but for a lot of these things, they only look for one person. What is the solution behind that? There's something called a tenant in common. And so what you would do in a situation like that is, like the title alludes to, we are both tenants and we're sharing in common in this asset. So instead of this being Hunt and his spouse owning this entire thing 50-50, Hunt's going to own this half and his spouse is going to own the other half. It's essentially going into the local county office, paying them $60 and saying, instead of me and my spouse owning everything, I'm going to own this half and they're going to own this half. It puts you both on there for your legal amounts. You can do the same thing for brokerage accounts. You can do the same thing for a lot of different things. And there's no downside to this. You might come back and say, well, hey, what happens if you get a divorce? What happens if you get a lot of that stuff? I would argue most of this stuff is already probably going to be joint ownership anyways. But again, your results may vary. You need to look into this. The reason that I bring this up, though, is because this is something that I've never really thought about. Who owns businesses, and we'll talk about it a little bit, is something that's come across my radar, but generally not in the thought of estate tax planning. Usually when we talk about this stuff, we're talking about, I own a repair shop. Should my spouse be on it? I own a repair shop. Should my spouse be claiming a tax deduction? I own a repair shop. Should my spouse be on payroll? There's a lot of different things that come aboard with this. So I'd like to be honest with you guys, because again, some of the stuff we talk about, parts reconciliation, different tax planning, there's some stuff that I say, this is how we're going to do it. But there's other things where I will admit, in practice, this is what's going on. If you were to look at this, and I was to stop right there on estate tax planning purposes, you might have some direction on this. You probably have, you know, some loose random recommendations here. But what I found out is this. All of your assets that you have, whether it's a watch, whether it's a car, whether it's a piece of real estate, or whether it's a small business on it, all of these things are looked at virtually identically in estate tax planning purposes. All of these are assets and all of these have a value. And there is a big argument that in a perfect world, you should be able to split all these up and they're kind of held in a 50-50 bucket. There's no benefit of one of them having more than the other, when in most cases, it's all going to be looked at as 50-50. What is stopping most people from going and saying, I'm going to transfer this, you're going to transfer that, and everything else in between? So the big thing that you got to look here is assets versus liabilities. What is the positive? What is the asset that I get? What is the liability that comes along with it? And again, what is the best case if I transfer this? What is the worst case? There are some things that I think that you can transfer pretty loosely. Bank accounts, brokerage accounts, real estates, maybe cars, personal assets, joint or individuals. On the business side of it, as my lawyer recommended to me, he still did not recommend me transferring my ownership interest. And why is that? So there is a large argument that I have an ownership interest and specifically in, you know, a service business on it. Having part of my interest transferred to my spouse probably didn't get me out of any liability and it now brings my spouse on board. Why? I'm going to be here every single day. I'm doing this podcast. I'm talking to clients on it. I'm always going to have a liability. If my wife is not on the books at all, she doesn't work here, then she is not going to have any liability. We would be solving hopefully one issue by bringing her onto this for estate tax planning purposes. But again, the liability or prospective liability of having the spouse on a business kind of outweighed that. So some of the brokerage accounts, some of the cars, different things where it's a no-brainer. Yeah, let's transfer this over because again, we're trying to have the best case scenario for our entire family unit. But what I see too much happening is people try to get their spouses involved in all this stuff with good intentions. I own everything. She owns everything. He owns everything. However you want to do this stuff. But again, there could actually be some liabilities that you're not thinking about here that are hanging them up. The more I think about this episode, I'm telling you guys to keep all of this stuff jointly. But then again, you know, probably not. I guess that is true to some degree on this. But I think what it is you need to be looking at this stuff. Because for some of you, it might be a no-brainer. You guys are going to be joint. You guys would be tenants in common on all of this because you truly share in all these adventures. You share in all these different business ventures, and it just makes sense. You could be on the exact flip side of this. You could say, hey, my wife has nothing to do with this. I don't want them to have anything to do with it, and I'm going to keep them as such. Also, if you have $50,000 to your name, it probably doesn't make much of a difference. And if you have $50 million, it probably makes all of the difference in the world.
Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from Euroclinic said, I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive.
There is some other things to worry about, and let's kind of talk about the downside. Why would you say, hon, I would have no qualms about putting my spouse on a brokerage account that you own jointly? And why would you give pause on doing that same thing for an auto repair shop? If I have an auto repair shop that's worth $300,000 and I have a brokerage account that's worth $300,000, which one do you think has more liability? Which one do you think that I can get sued from? Which one do you think that has any liability with sales tax that I could possibly go to jail if I don't pay sales tax? Which one has liability that if one of my employees forgets something on a vehicle, I could actually end up, you know, financially responsible or in jail? I think that you understand where we're going on this one, and this is the big reason why I generally don't see spouses on there. For every time that I've probably seen a situation where having the spouse benefit by being in an estate tax situation, I've seen someone else that would have not been able to do what they were able to do by having their spouse on there. Realistically, most of you guys do not plan to keep your shops until after you pass. It's going to be a sale before death or hopefully before death on there. And by having your spouse on there, they are now liable for most of the things that you do. But I'll give you a great example on this. If you go out and you are the sole proprietor of your business and you rack up a $400,000 liability to the IRS, payroll taxes specifically, we'll use sales tax as kind of interchangeable as well. If your spouse doesn't work in a business, your spouse doesn't own anything on it, you absolutely could be liable and you absolutely could be going to jail. But there is no legal standing for the IRS, the state, or the county to go after your spouse. She doesn't own the business. She's not on any legal paperwork. You thought that you were being nice. And when you started this business, you said, hey, everything's 50-50. Still the same situation. Wife has never been into business. Wife doesn't do the sales tax. Wife doesn't do the payroll tax. If they see her on there as a 50% owner, not that they're always going to go after them, but they now have the same legal standing to go after her as they do for you. What's the benefit of it? What's the benefit of having your spouse on there? Absolutely not in most situations, because remember, you guys file a joint return. If I make $100,000 in my business, I'm going to show $100,000 on my tax return. If that same business is owned jointly with me and my wife, I'm still going to be paying tax on $100,000. 50 is going to be coming from me, 50 is coming from her. It really makes absolutely no difference. And again, like I said, could open us up for some liability. What if you've made this mistake in the past? What if you said, well, hon, you know what? I had an ex-husband, a current husband, whatever it is, and I actually got, you know, mixed up in a tax situation. They fraudulently filed a return. They forgot to include their ERTC money, and now the IRS is trying to come after me. The good news is, in most situations, the IRS has a situation to deal with it. I'm not going to tell you it's always a good situation. I'm not going to tell you it's always an easy situation. But pretty much anything that you can name that has possibly happened as far as taxes is concerned, the IRS does have guidance on this. There is something that I have seen. I've never actually seen it done in person. I've heard about it, but it's called an innocent spouse. What is an innocent spouse? And can this help me in a situation where my spouse does something that I could be liable? And the good news is, yes, if you're liable for, if you're concerned about the liability for taxes. The bad side is no, if you're liable for anything else. Innocent spouse just means that the spouse is innocent from whatever tax-related thing that the spouse did. Like I said, I have never seen this actually used in person. I've never filed this for a client. I've luckily, knock on wood, never been in a situation. I usually see this stuff when someone commits some sort of fraud. When someone has a massive audit, when there's a mass underreporting of tax liability or income on this, and the IRS comes back and says, you know, John and Jane Smith, you guys underreported $3 million. And either John or Jane comes back and says, I did not underreport anything on this. My spouse did. It does happen. There is ways to kind of get out of tax debt if your spouse is into trouble. But as we'll talk about in a little bit, if you have some of these things going on, you might not want to file jointly anyways. Something that it is more common, and again, you know, if you are filing taxes, if you're being married, you know, some people have tax liability that either predates your marriage or even predates any marriages altogether. This one's a little bit more common, and it's called an injured spouse relief. The injured spouse relief, not to be confused with the innocent spouse relief, has to do when someone has a previous year tax liability that has nothing to do with your joint account. So let's say that I am single, I owe the IRS $50,000, and this year I want to file a tax return with my new wife, but I don't want that person to have any negative impact on my previous year's taxes. My new wife could file something called injured spouse relief, which essentially says, we are filing this stuff together. Here's my side. Here's my spouse's side. I have nothing to do with them. That kind of leads us to the last question on here is, should I just file a separate return for my spouse? We've went full circle on this. We've went from the estate tax planning of like, it doesn't matter. We all own everything on this. To a lot of people are probably coming to the conclusion of like, wait, should we be held jointly on any of this stuff? And a short answer on this is, should you file separately from your spouse? Is probably not. There is some situations. If your spouse has a big tax liability from previous years, I would probably think about it. If your spouse currently has a massive tax liability every single year and has issues paying it, notices, whatnot, I would seriously think about it. Anything else in between other than the son, I would not use that as a reason to file separately. The reason why I would almost never recommend filing separately when you have a married couple is there's virtually no way that it could benefit you other than these situations we're talking about here before. And there's a lot of ways that it actually could be a negative for you or your taxes. There's a lot of things, the way the tax law works is the tax rates for, or the tax brackets for joint are essentially double what they are single. You got one person here, you got two people there, it's all doubled. Deductions are generally the same way too. Hey, if you get $1,000 on your personal, if you file jointly, you get $2,000. The issue comes up on the married filing separately. There's a couple things that you just can't get if you file separately. You want to deduct student loan interest. Well, if you file separately, you just can't. So like I said, you should probably be filing jointly. Your spouse should probably not be on the business. But the longer answer is it's probably going to make a big difference depending on what you have going on, what you've done in the past, and what you plan to do in the future. And like a lot of this, how much money is all involved in a lot of it. So, Hunt, I might or might not want my spouse on a business, right? I probably want them or, you know, tenants in common on some of the real estate, the bank accounts. If my spouse owes a bunch of money or is about to owe a bunch to the IRS, I probably should not file jointly. What about paying them? Is the relationship between paying your spouse and them being in ownership in the business, do they actually have anything to do with each other? And does it all even matter? So kind of like filing separately, if you're sitting here right now working in your repair shop, working in your business on it, and your spouse does not currently take payroll, and you say, Hunt, should my spouse take payroll? Without looking at anything, the answer is probably no. And then again, in 90% of the situations, the more I ask, I do not change my answer. 10% of those, I say, yeah, you probably should have your spouse on payroll. The biggest reason why you should not have your spouse on payroll is because there's probably no benefit. If your spouse is not on payroll, they can still be covered under your health insurance benefits because they're your spouse on there. We're not getting a tax deduction when we pay our spouses. If we pay our spouse $100,000, we get a $100,000 deduction on the business, we pay tax of $100,000 personally. Those wash out. We get no tax deduction. But you know what we don't get a deduction for? The $15,000 in payroll tax that we paid on that payroll. If you have two businesses, both of them making $200,000 of profit, one of them takes $100,000 out on payroll, the other one, both spouses take $100,000 out on payroll, business A is going to pay $30,000 in payroll taxes. Business B is only going to pay $15,000. The whole game here that we're trying to work with is to pay the least amount of payroll taxes possible. You guys know that you shouldn't be bonusing yourself, paying yourself a ton of wages. Why the heck are you just paying your spouse? That being said, if there's a reason why your spouse has to be on there for health insurance, obviously put them on there. This is the asset versus liability, cost versus benefit. If you have a retirement account, your spouse should be on there and should be maximizing that. In a perfect situation, if I'm looking for most repair shops, one owner, I don't care if it's you, your spouse, husband, wife, one of you guys should be on there. Same person that's on there should be taking payroll, should be filing a joint return, but you should not be commingling this as much as you can unless your lawyer says there's a benefit from doing so. I hope that this never comes down to it, but the last kind of, you know, well, Hunt, why would I do all of this? What is my option by keeping my wife, my husband completely separate from my business? I don't see this a lot. It's not advisable. No one ever plans on doing this, but I have had a handful of businesses over the years that have got into sales tax trouble, payroll tax trouble, income tax trouble. What they are able to do by having only one of their spouses on the business is they were able to shut that business down and then a new business was to reopen sometimes the following day. If you want to look at XYZ Auto Repair, some of my clients in the past, they closed down on a Friday where the husband owned that business. They had a massive amount of payroll taxes. And then Monday they opened up as a brand new business and they were not actually liable for those payroll taxes. Is there more to this? Yes. Is the husband that walked away from those payroll taxes or sales tax going to still have some stuff that follows them? Yes. But if you do this correctly, you could have one person on the hook and still be able to be flexible, still be able to do what you need to do in the business. Whereas if you guys might both end up going down with the ship, if you really, really want to have both of your names on this. Being married and having a business partner in many ways pose similar issues, disagreements, and frustrations. And combining the two can make it even more daunting. Talk to your spouse, talk to your accountant, talk to your lawyer, and make the right move for you, your business, and your family. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, shoot me an email at podcast@parmalis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening app. So just want to say thanks again for joining me on the Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.